The other potential win when it comes to agriculture and climate change is climate change means that CO2 levels in the atmosphere, carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere rise.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, carbon dioxide can act as a fertilizer, right? It's a requirement. So that's right. That does make sense. And I think there have been some studies that suggest that, yes, as you get warmer and warmer, yields will decline. But there may be some benefit, some offsetting benefit, because CO2 increases plant growth rates.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details.
Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 4 of a 5-part series with John Abbott-Zoglu, professor from the University of California. And we are talking about climate change and its impact on coffee. Now, John, you've got to help me here, bro. Give me any advantages that climate change is having on the coffee supply chain.
This is going to be a short segment. So, yeah, I mean, what are the potential upshots of climate change for coffee? I think the one obvious piece is the idea that, yes, there will be contractions in current coffee growing locations because mm-hmm. those places will be too warm, right? On the flip side, there will be new areas, novel areas for coffee growing that mm-hmm. will open up, because those areas that used to be too cold, used to have freeze events, won't have those freeze events as often.
Right.
And they will become viable. So that may open up new areas. Those new areas will then, you'll have to displace other things that are grown in those areas, whether those be natural systems or other agricultural systems. So displacement is possible. With most sort of issues related to agriculture, these shifts are apparent. There's winners and losers. So we've talked about the losers a lot, mm-hmm. the doom and gloom side. The upshot is that there may be some winners, higher elevation locations, places further north, further south. Those places may have some advantages because they have to sort of, maybe they have enough information on what is working. They can adapt and develop certain terroir for the coffee that they're growing. That being said, coffee, it takes a while, right? So it's not like this right. is a solution that's going to happen immediately. And I don't know to what degree that is happening, right? Especially sort of the cultivation of coffee that are well outside of its current growing locations. There, I think there are some. There's some in California, more of something as well in New Zealand.
And Australia.
In Australia as well, that makes a lot of sense. And then I'm assuming, you know, certainly higher elevation, but as we get up higher in elevation, you get little islands of areas, and that's just not super. The other potential win when it comes to agriculture and climate change is climate change means that CO2 levels in the atmosphere, carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere rise.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, carbon dioxide can act as a fertilizer, right? It's a requirement. So that's right. That does make sense. And I think there have been some studies that suggest that, yes, as you get warmer and warmer, yields will decline. But there may be some benefit, some offsetting benefit, because CO2 increases plant growth rates, right? So
wow.
So that's out there. At the same time, right, we can all think of a houseplant we have, right? Mm-hmm. You have houseplants behind you there.
Loads.
And you look at that houseplant, tons of fertilizer, organic fertilizer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you forget to water that plant, right, or if it's, you leave your windows open and it gets too hot or too cold, it doesn't matter how much fertilizer that plant is, right? And so CO2 is out there. There are studies do suggest that it may enhance crop growth. And for coffee, that may have some offsetting effects when we talk about just the direct temperature effects on coffee or precipitation effects on coffee. But that's, you know, something that will be considered forward.
The one thing that I have observed in my life is that when things get hard, innovation seems to be its friend. And that's one advantage that I think that I, listening to you talk there, that's one advantage that I think that coffee and climate change presents to the coffee industry, is that we have a very complex agricultural product here and we have a very, very complex supply chain. And the price of coffee has not really changed very much in 30 years. And so with this growing problem of climate change, we're going to be forced, I think, to innovate in different ways, whether it's for the energy transition targets that everybody has to meet and renewable energies, or whether it's agricultural practices, or it's access to water for post-harvest processing, or it's labor. Because one thing we didn't talk about was that climate change is really going to impact labor that wants to sit out in the fields and, you know, actually pick coffee. And people are like, yeah, nah, no thanks. And they're migrating to California to go and pick coffee in California, I hear, for Jason Mraz's farm. But no surprises there. But we are going to need to solve these problems somehow. And as we have less labor, we're going to need to figure out either we mechanize and adapt, or we have to plant something else. And coffee may very well decrease just because of that, not because the plants are being impacted because of the climate, but because the humans are being impacted by the climate and they don't want to be out there picking. And we can't adapt to that because we are on an incline and machines can't climb up hills the way that that humans can. So this is, it's almost going to test humans' ingenuity and their, I mean, if people don't really believe that this is an important big deal, they may not think it's necessary to. I hear a lot of people say, I think that the climate's just going to return to normal in about a decade. Okay, based on what?
Right.
So I feel like there are so many opportunities here for us as a civilization if we can get our shit together.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, while we're getting our act together on climate, we do need these, you know, this ingenuity to sort of solve this transition. And like you said, there are efforts underway to look at the use of artificial intelligence in agriculture. And I happen to be working on a project like that.
Oh, really?
Mostly in the United States, but part of it is sort of looking at the climatic side, but then also the labor side and automation and picking, not with coffee, but with other sort of important crops in the Western U.S. Artificial intelligence has helped us with certain things. It's caused other problems as well. So just the complexity of solutions. The labor issue is legit, right? In the United States, we've actually done some studies looking at what with climate change, how much more frequent will conditions be that are too hot for outdoor laborers to effectively work. And those conditions will rise dramatically due to both the warming and increases in humidity in certain areas that really take a toll on the human body. I don't know what that looks like in some of our coffee growing areas, but that is something to consider. Unfortunately, right, there are some places actually have labor laws, right, which would require outdoor workers to take breaks. That may not necessarily be true everywhere. And so we could be putting people at harm, depending on exactly how hot it is when harvest happens or when other sort of outdoor labor happens with coffee.
Yeah, well, here in Dubai, the summers get exceptionally hot. And there are laws that prevent you from having outside laborers at the peak of the heat of the day. Just you can't have people outside working in 50 degree heat. It's just not humane.
No.
I see a lot of that is going to be in the future for a lot of countries around the world that probably don't have that at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And so then there's the shift to, you know, instead of doing it in the middle of the day, doing it in early morning only, which you know, creates some other challenges. The other thing I think with climate change that is interesting and I don't have a great answer for is climate change has certainly sort of thrown off the timing of when things mature from crop perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And so there may be cases where what used to be a more regular timing of the harvest becomes irregular.
Yep,
and that
we're
creates
experiencing
challenges
a lot of that.
In sort of how to sort of organize sort of harvest and processing, et cetera. And that those sort of issues are sort of spatially connected and you know, might cause some additional challenges.
You know, as you speak, I think of one other advantage that climate change has for coffee. And it's sort of a byproduct of what's happening, but it's really going to make people be intentional business owners. You know, it's really going to make people have to choose between their values and how they represent those values in their business, because consumer behavior is going to shift undoubtedly with regards to the climate and the way that they want to support brands who are helping, particularly people who are in younger generations, are going to look to support businesses that are looking to take care of the climate. And I think it really is going to start stress testing the concept of having values, vision, mission, and what role that plays in the way that you produce your products and the way that you treat your customers, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and to that point, that is, I have a little bit of hope on climate because I do see value being placed on climate change as a top priority among the younger generation. And that may ultimately, like you said, sort of begin to resonate through other sectors. People that are more interested in profit, right, may begin to realize that, well, part of profit is actually valuing sort of solutions that are working on climate change.
And that is one thing I love about Gen Z. Gen Z have figured out much quicker than, I guess, our generation, Gen X. Gen Z figured out much quicker than us the power of the money that we spend and how quickly corporations will listen when you stop supporting them financially. And they'll do it en masse. And I think it's really fantastic that they can mobilize that way and really hold corporates accountable. It's really wonderful to see.
Totally, so
we have one episode to go, and this next episode is all about hope. Let's see if we can mine some of that, shall we? Excuse the pun. Peace, love, and peanut butter, everybody. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.